FX Weekly podcast with Lee Hardman, currency analyst for the Global Markets Research Team. So Lee, what are the main trends in the FX market at the start of this week?
Well, heading into this week, the FX market is still very much in a state of slumber. If we look at the major currency pairs, they continue to trade within very narrow ranges, and implied levels of volatility in the options market has fallen to historically low levels. For example, if you look at the performance of euro-dollar over the last five trading days, that has traded within just a 50-pip range between 110.47 and 110.97. At the start of the week, we saw euro-dollar try to break higher back above 111, but that upward momentum has now started to reverse. We saw at the end of the week, obviously the release of the disappointing PMI data for November from the Eurozone, and that certainly has put a dampener on the euro's upside potential in the near term. We were particularly concerned by the weakness that we saw in the service sector PMIs. That shows certainly more evidence there of kind of negative spillovers from the more acute weakness that we've seen so far in the manufacturing sector. But on the whole, though, for the FX market, we still think it's looking really for a fresh catalyst right now to drive performance going forward. We still see a general lack of clarity over the details of the much-anticipated trade deal between the US and China, and until we get greater clarity there, it looks like that is also contributing to this holding pattern formation in the FX market. In terms of what's happened over the past week between the US and China, our general take is that we think market participants are becoming a little bit more cautious over the prospect of a quick deal before the end of this year. And when you combine that as well with the emergence of further evidence of weakening global growth momentum over the past week, both of those factors are putting a dampener on global investor risk sentiment. And this shift to a kind of more risk-averse trading environment is already encouraging the yen to rebound. So we've seen dollar yen fail to break above its 200-day moving average at the 109 level, and it looks like momentum is now heading downwards for dollar yen in the week ahead.
The pound has outperformed recently. Do you see scope for further near-term gains, Lee?
Yeah, the scope for further near-term pound gains is limited in our view for the pound. Obviously, last week, cable hit an intraday high of 129.85, but it then has failed to extend its advance beyond the 130 level. And that basically supports our view that we think the pound will struggle to sustain levels above 130 until we really see the current elevated level of political and Brexit uncertainty start to more materially ease. And we don't think that's really going to happen until at least after the election next month. Obviously, in the near term, obviously one of the key reasons why the pound has been strengthening is because the market is becoming more confident that the Tory government could win a majority in the upcoming election, and then obviously would clear the way for the Brexit withdrawal deal to be passed more quickly through Parliament early next year. However, obviously that's not a done deal at this stage. We still need to watch how the opinion polls develop in the coming weeks, and certainly from that perspective we'll be watching closely how those polls have developed over the weekend to see if the TV debate last week between Boris Johnson and Jeremy Corbyn, and also the release of Labour's manifesto, to see if both of those factors have had an impact on the polls. If we were to see some evidence emerge that the lead of the Tory party over the Labour party is starting to narrow, that could start to make the market more doubtful over their kind of strong conviction that the Tories are on course for a majority at the election. And at the same time, the other factors which we think are becoming more negative for the pound as well are the latest data flow from the UK. We continue to see disappointing data, and the latest data disappointment was the PMI surveys at the end of last week, which showed an increasing likelihood of another contraction in GDP growth in Q4. Admittedly though, obviously, if you look back at the PMI data, it has tended to overstate the weakness in activity data. So there is still some hope there that the economy may actually hold up better than expected, but the risks are very much to the downside. And on balance, this makes us think that there's still a higher likelihood, in our view, that cable will break below 128 in the run-up to the election, than the likelihood of it actually rising above 130.
And what are the key event risks in the week ahead, Lee?
At the start of the week, We'll be keeping a close eye on the two keynote speeches from the RBA. First up, we have Deputy Governor De Bell, who will be speaking on employment and wages. And that's an area of the Australian economy which continues to remain a particular concern for RBA policymakers. We saw in October that employment contracted and wage growth continued to remain very subdued. And those factors are keeping pressure on the RBA to consider delivering further rate cuts going forward. And with the RBA's policy rate fast approaching the zero bound, the scope for conventional easing is clearly running out. And I think it's in this light that the other keynote speech from RBA Governor Lowe on the experiences of unconventional easing from overseas, we think that's going to be scrutinised very closely by market participants in the week ahead. And we feel that does pose downside risks for the Australian dollar, particularly if Governor Lowe reinforces market expectations for the RBA to potentially implement quantitative easing in 2020. And that's one of the key kind of rationales behind our trade idea for this week to go short Aussie yen. The other kind of rationale being that we feel that the global risk sentiment is now turning more negative with the trade optimism over the US and China starting to fade and global growth continuing to disappoint. We feel there's more downside risk to the Aussie yen rate going forward. And then towards the end of the week, we think the focus will start to shift towards the latest Q3 GDP reports. We're particularly interested in those reports released from Sweden and Canada. If we were to see evidence there of a larger slowdown in growth than is currently expected, that could certainly challenge the Riksbank's current plans to deliver one final rate hike this month, and could also encourage expectations that the Bank of Canada is moving ever closer to delivering their first rate cut. And that we think in terms of the FX performance that the Canadian dollar to us looks like it's going to be more sensitive to a data disappointment, particularly after the Bank of Canada's latest policy meeting. At that policy meeting, they clearly signaled that they are moving closer to cutting rates and that they discussed the potential need for insurance rate cuts. So certainly if the data continues to weaken in Canada more than expected, then the Bank of Canada should be moving closer to cutting rates. And we think that eventually will start to chip away at the Canadian dollar's outperformance so far this year.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you for listening to the FX Weekly podcast. Visit www.mufgemea.com for more insights from our global markets research team.